What does it mean for us to flourish? What does it mean for us to thrive? What does it mean for us to just survive? Biologists tell us that human beings need just five basic elements to survive: oxygen, water, food, shelter, and sleep or rest. Even the most basic organisms need most of these things to survive. To flourish, by definition, means to be in a vigorous state to thrive, to be in its or one's prime, prosper, to grow luxuriously, to make dramatic, sweeping gestures. We read in Genesis 1 and 2 that human beings were put on the earth not just to survive, but to thrive, to flourish. God created humanity and declared we are to be fruitful. That is, through our functioning, we flourish for the betterment of ourselves and others. Flourishing, then, means that it's not automatic. We are given ingredients by God to help us thrive, to flourish. But the truth is, we must cultivate these things in our own life, in our spiritual lives. This is the first week of our message series, Flourishing, and today we look at how prayer is the basic building block of flourishing. We read from our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, these words of Jesus to his disciples. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let us pray. O God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand, and open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As parents, Christine and I have always sought to teach our children the Lord's Prayer. In teaching them the Lord's Prayer, it was our goal that they would learn from a very early age this very simple but foundational prayer from our Christian heritage. And ever since they could speak, we always tried to instill this within them. And our two oldest children, Rowan and Eva, they learn through muffling, through fumbling, the Lord's Prayer, as most children do. But one evening, while I was praying the Lord's Prayer with Rowan, when he was about 5 years old, he started to pray very clearly, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And I was proud that he was starting to learn the Lord's Prayer. And as he continued through the prayer, he continued each word very articulately. And then he got to the part about temptation in the Lord's Prayer. And things went a little bit differently. And he got to the part, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And I started to try to hide my laughter. Deliver us from evil? Is she such a bad sister that you're praying for deliverance? So I asked Rowan, "Is Eva that bad of a sister?" And he said to me, "Well, Dad, it isn't that she's that bad of a sister. It's just sometimes I need a break from her." To this day, I don't know if Rowan was being really creative or he was sincere. But as children and adults, we are taught this prayer and it imprints upon us. This prayer of Jesus that was so essential. Catholics and Protestants know this prayer as Our Father or the Lord's Prayer, and we know it as a way to carry out the commands of Jesus. But in this prayer that we pray, are we just reciting it? Just rote instruction, going through the motions? How are we to conform into an expression of a prayerful life, as Jesus taught? How are we to approach life with this prayer in hand? Today, I want to make a bold assertion about your ability to flourish and how prayer impacts your ability to thrive. I contend that your image of God defines who you are. Your image of God, or your view of God, defines who you are. If you see God as a strict divine parent, well, your view of what it means to be a Christian may be all about standards and respect. If you see God as absent, only making an appearance ever so often, well, maybe that's how you define your spiritual relationship. You only visit with God in prayer only occasionally. If you see God as a loving and compassionate God, you will likely see love and compassion as a critical part of your faith. But no matter what, your image of God defines who you are. Tim Hansel, in his book, When I Relax, I Feel Guilty, confesses the nature of how our image of God can really define our outlook on whether it means we just survive in life or we flourish in life. He writes, "I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to make my soul explode or disturb my sleep, but just enough to an equal cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please." Do we just want a little bit of God? Do we just want to survive with God? Or do we want to flourish with God? I think the majority of people want the most from God, but often we struggle through accessing the totality of God. We want all the benefits of the flourishing life, but we don't necessarily want the struggles or challenges. We may not understand that through prayer, God helps us flourish. When Jesus taught his disciples how to access the totality of God in prayer, it's amazing to think that Jesus gave his disciples this prayer from Matthew. To some of the disciples, it must have seemed like just a $3 prayer. But we discover in this prayer what it takes for us to flourish in our lives. Perhaps in this prayer, the most powerful part is the simplicity. However, simplicity does not mean something isn't valuable. The Lord's Prayer is extremely valuable into understanding prayer and flourishing in our lives. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but in reality, it's really the disciples' prayer. It was instructional to them about how to understand one's life as a prayer and worship to God. The prayer is divided into 5 sections. First, God's name is holy or hallowed. That word, Father, comes from an ancient term, Abba, which connotes the intimacy that we share with God that Jesus taught us to pray. It calls us to stop dragging God's name through the mud or using it to curse. Second, God's kingdom would come, not only to pray for God's kingdom, but for it to be made real. But it's also a call for the disciples and us to roll up our sleeves. It is a call to remind us to pray and work and to make God's heaven real here on earth in this place. Third, daily bread. Notice how we are not to pray for a mansion or respect or fame or lots of friends. As a matter of fact, like the Israelites in the Old Testament, we are dependent on God to supply that daily bread from heaven that they received. It was the building blocks of nourishment. And it's the building blocks of our nourishment. It's food for the journey, not only asking for physical sustenance, but also for spiritual. Fourth, forgiveness of sins. Jesus forgave, but some of us don't want to. We are forgiven by God, and we are directed in this prayer towards forgiveness. People need our forgiveness. Fifth, not to be led into temptation or to come close to evil. Or as it's translated, to be delivered from a time of trial or struggle. We know that adversity is a part of any living organism's functioning. But for us humans, it's a request for rescue. The world tends to think of flourishing as success, titles, and notoriety. In contrast, Jesus, in this prayer, sees flourishing in the connection with our divine Father, working towards Jesus' vision of seeking that daily bread, forgiveness, and assistance in adversity. The Lord's Prayer is simple, but powerful. Maybe we've prayed it so many times, we forgot the prayer is actually a call to action. Prayerful words of flourishing. Often I find that people can get really frustrated at prayer, whether it's trying to pray and not find the words, but people sometimes use prayer as a survival mechanism. In other words, we only need prayer when we think we need something, kind of a spiritual gumball machine. I insert the prayers and out comes what I want. The 19th century Christian philosopher and theologian Soren Kierkegaard once wrote, "The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays." If Kierkegaard is right, then our prayer life is not a transaction. Instead, it's a flourishing relationship. Every year, during Christmas time, during Advent, our altar guild and our volunteers do an amazing job of making sure that we have poinsettias, and every year we can purchase them. And here, right here, I have one of these poinsettias. Now, it's February, but we got this back in December, and it's wonderful because these last throughout the Christmas season. We brought it home. It was wonderful to have by the tree. It was wonderful to have in our home during Advent and Christmas, and it lasted all the way through January, but we forgot to do something. We forgot to water it, and so we saw that it started to kind of wilt a little bit, and it needed water, and some of the leaves just kind of started to shrink up, and so we quickly watered it, but then we forgot to water it again, and it dried out, and the leaves started kind of shriveling again, and we went through this a couple times, and now we're at the point where this plant is barely surviving. If you look close, some of these leaves are limp. There's black spots on the tips. I don't think this leaf will survive. Look at this. This poor plant is on its last leg. It's not thriving. It's barely surviving. It's dried out. This thing went through several cycles of drought and water. And look at the result. If we ever want to flourish in our spiritual lives, we must begin with prayer. We must rely on the consistent living water of God to quench our spiritual thirst. If we treat our relationship with God like I did this poinsettia, we will go through cycles of feast and famine spiritually. And that wrecks our life to be all the way on or off with prayer. Our lives, like this plant, might be able to survive a while on drought and flood. We might be able to survive with a little bit of prayer. But to flourish, to thrive, we need a constant source and connection with God. It's no way to live, going between extremes. extreme periods of dryness with no prayer, and floods of gushing prayer. Instead, Jesus tells us that we are to seek daily prayer with God, daily bread. Prayer with God, that's daily, is what will start to feed your soul through your struggles, challenges, dreams, hopes, and failures. Prayer sustains. Prayer brings you closer to God. Like a good marriage or relationship, which requires constant communication, prayer is that constant communication with our Father in heaven. It is that asking, seeking, knocking that Jesus told us to do in his Sermon on the Mount. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us we should pray without ceasing. While impractical, if taken literally, St. Paul told the Thessalonians to see all that they do and say as prayer and worship to God. I find that most people want a flourishing prayer life, but they struggle. If you struggle with flourishing, I have some suggestions for you. So you can go ahead, pause your video, tap your screen or click. You can go grab a piece of paper, a pen or pencil. But one of these skills, strategies, can help you on the quest to prayerful flourishing. Pray in a place that's quiet. Pray in short sentences. Try to find a specific time to pray, whether it's the morning, right at noon, at lunchtime, or maybe when you go to bed. Pray outside. Pray with others. Ask other Christians to pray with you. Try praying not just for others, but pray that God will reveal new things to you. Pray on a walk. Focus on what's really bothering you or what you're really thankful for. Pray through journaling, writing down what's on your mind, the joys, the hopes, the dreams, the requests, the concerns. Try making a list. If you're very detail-oriented, write the things throughout your day that you know you need to pray about later, and then later on, take that list, pray over it. Use a prayer guide. They can be found online. There's plenty of apps. Many people like our Daily Bread devotional. Try to use a psalm a day from the Old Testament. Crack open your Bible. Read that psalm as your prayer to God each day. Pray with images. Christian icons have helped Christians for thousands of years direct their prayer life. You can Google some Christians' icons and take the picture, look at it, reflect on it. Pray what moves you. You know, there's no such thing as a prayer expert. There are only prayer practitioners. We can read about the scholastics of prayer, but Jesus never formed experts on prayers, only students. We are always a prayer and work process. May you, if you want to flourish in times of crisis or celebration, see prayer as the way to keep you grounded and close to your Father in heaven at the same time. May you take up the Lord's Prayer not just as a prayer, but as a way of daily living. And remember, if you seek God in prayer, God will take hold of you, open your heart, and mold you beyond survival and into a flourishing life. Let us pray. God, so many of us find that prayer is hard. We think maybe we have to pray long prayers or eloquent prayers or poetry, Lord. But help us see the words of Jesus, just simple lines, simple sentences. But there's much power in these words. There's much power in these prayers. that God, you seek to help us to flourish when we make the Lord's Prayer our daily prayer through our words and our actions. God, help us today during these 40 days of Lent to take up daily prayer, even if it's just for 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long we can do your work of communication. God, bless us as we pray. Give us strength. Help us push out distractions so we may take up the flourishing that you give us in a prayer-filled life. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.